I'm Kane native Ed Rose, and this is Citizen Kane PA. On this weekly broadcast, I uncover little-known facts and forgotten memories from the hilltop. This week's program is called Remembering the Northern Lights. According to newspaper reports dating back more than 100 years, the hilltop was frequently dazzled by the Northern Lights. Usually in March or in October or November, Kane played host to this spectacular light show that disrupted TV and radio signals to the dismay of many. In fact, the ethereal palette of heavenly colors was once so common as to be a nuisance and a threat to wireless entertainment of the day. According to the Kane Republican, on March 8, 1918, the luminous phenomenon with its streamers of yellow, green, purple, and rose hues burst from a central blur. Some thought the cause was an invasion of German Zeppelins. Last winter, the phenomenon took the form of beams from a Titanic searchlight, but the coloration that tinted the sky last night was of a beauty that has seldom been witnessed in these parts. A headline in the November 12, 1929 Republican touted the recent display as the most beautiful seen here in recent years. And an item in the Bird column from June 4, 1938 noted that the year 1938 is approaching an all-time record as the season for intense bombardment of Mother Earth by Northern Lights, or Aurora Borealis. A third bombardment by an invisible ghost aurora disrupted communication lines throughout the country for more than 3 hours recently. Two other previous events were visible, sending brilliant shafts of white and colored lights into the sky from the magnetic North Pole. In March of 1956, the glow in northern skies, light streaks radiating overhead, was accompanied by serious TV interference and a phenomenon called skip. TV sets received programs from at least 10 stations from Ontario, New York, and points south to Altoona, Pittsburgh, and Johnstown. A three-day reception from Havana, Cuba, was the longest distance on record. Other oddities occurred with the strange glow in the skies. Jet planes left plume streaks that appeared as if they were frozen. And even smaller planes at much lower altitudes left the long cloud-like streaks in the sky. The Republican reported that roving figures of light resembled a gigantic array of searchlights behind a cloud bank, with a sharp definition at the base and the rays of light tapering to points. At times, the lights would fade into a diffused greenish glow, then break suddenly over a great area of the skies, extending almost directly overhead. Perhaps the biggest light show of all occurred August 6, 1960, when the Echo 1 balloon satellite was viewable from the hilltop, at the same time when Mother Nature tossed in her own spectacular showing of the Aurora Borealis. This incredible celestial double feature was at its peak around 1 a.m. In the last 50 years or so, viewings of the Northern Lights have become less and less common on the hilltop, perhaps due to the advent of streetlights and overall abundance of evening lighting. Maybe nature's light show is just harder to see. Or maybe, just maybe, too many of us are spending too much time indoors watching the dancing lights of our televisions during the hours when we should be outside looking skyward. The reddening and flickering of red lights that occurred in May of 1967 was one of the last reported displays, and it resulted in a rash of calls to local and state police. Too bad. Since then, it appears that the Northern Lights have upped and gone away. Well, that's all for this week, friends. Please send your comments and story ideas to citizenkanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.